Good morning and happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. 24 years ago today, I asked Elise to marry me. She said she'd get back to me. But I got her. She's right. She's a good-looking one in the back, second in from the left. There she is, right there. Pretty exciting. I had written Elise a song. I'm not particularly musical. That's the first song and the last song that I've ever written. But I did write her a song. I got her the day off of work, and I flew up from Southern California. Now, we had agreed that we would not kiss until we knew that we would be married. So I wrote her a letter ahead saying, I think I'm ready to kiss you. So she kind of had an idea of what was going to happen. I met with her parents. That was an interesting meeting. That's what you got to do, guys. If you're out there, if you're planning this, some guy out there, you got to meet with the parents. It was an awesome thing. That's what we looked like 24 years ago. People look at that and they say, well, she hasn't changed. And I go, exactly right. That's just how I see it, too. Drove her to San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. Brought her lunch, sang her the song. And then I brought out this small velvet box. Didn't cost very much. The box. But inside was something very expensive that cost a great deal. My friends, God views us just the same. As a pretty regular container with a treasure inside. Friends, we've been taking a look at the book of Hebrews in a sermon series called Greater. It's all about Jesus Christ, but we take a break from that today to start our Serve Week. This is a week in which we are going to challenge one another to serve as never before. Over these next 7 days, we're encouraging one another, knowing that we have this treasure in jars of clay, as we'll see, to reach out in all kinds of new ways. So if you're leading a ministry this week, I am challenging you as the pastor of our church to take whatever group you're leading. Maybe you lead the sophomore boys group, or maybe you have a life group on Thursday night. Whatever it would be, the idea of this week is to lean out into the lives of new people. And maybe you're not leading a ministry, but as we're going to see, you are a minister. And I would just ask you to set aside some time this week, in the next 7 days, to serve someone new in the name of Jesus Christ. Friends, as we've been looking at the book of Hebrews and this idea of greater, it's the idea that Jesus is greater than any other option before us. And Jesus makes our very own lives greater. From our vision statement, we follow Jesus Christ in order to bless. And so even though we look at what God is doing deeply in our lives, we also look at how God uses our lives. As he is greater in our own lives, he seeks an outlet through our lives into other people all around us. Friends, we have a Serve Week because we are busy. All of us have full schedules. It's very easy for the tyranny of the urgent to eclipse the things that are really more significant, like serving people. We have a Serve Week because we all have a limit. We have a line at which we begin to fear. We begin to feel afraid or nervous or uncomfortable sharing our faith. I just talked with a friend who just, I think, last weekend, a week from yesterday, was a part of one of these teams that go door to door in our neighborhood, knocking on doors and praying for people in their homes, even if they're not there, maybe praying from the curb. And he had such a fantastic experience. I hear that time and time and time again. We have a Serve Week because God is not just the God of our minds and our hearts, our inner world, our private life. He is the God of our calendar. He's the God of our finances. He's the God of our actions. My friend, someone who understood this very well was the Apostle Paul. In the first century, he wrote a letter to believers living in the city of Corinth. And right kind of in the center of that map, you can see Athens. And then just kind of southwest a little bit, you see Corinth. It's on a little isthmus right there. In the first century Mediterranean world, Corinth was a very big deal. Paul spent time there. Archaeologists have now dug up shops, very much like the shops that Paul and Aquila may have worked in when they made tents to sell them at the marketplace in Corinth. Contemporary villas of that time have been unearthed that now talk about the limited size of those first century homes and how that limited the actual size of the first century church. Paul may well have written the book of Romans when he was in Corinth. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians to this Corinthian church. And at the time, he was facing physical challenges. We're going to hear about some of those. He was facing interpersonal challenges. Detractors were publicly questioning his motives. It was a painful time for the Apostle Paul. And out of this crisis, we can detect at least three marks of true ministry. So, my friends, what we're going to do is draw out of Paul's painful experience, lived before the Lord, and recorded in this inspired letter, three keys that can encourage us and guide us and inspire us and even affirm us as we launch into this Serve Week, Valentine's Week in 2016. So if you have your Bible with you, as I hope you do, would you take it out or turn it on if it's on your tablet or phone and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 to 7. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 to 7. Jesus has called us to bless, and that means that our ministry needs to be determined. You can see on your screen in just a moment, it says there, "Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry." Did you know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a ministry? If you believe in Christ, you're a minister. You don't have to be paid on a church staff. You don't have to be a missionary serving in some foreign culture. If you have Christ in your life, you're a minister. 1 Peter 2:9 says, we're a chosen people. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. God's special possession. That's you. That's me. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. If you believe in Christ, if you have God's spirit in you, you have God's word in you, God has given you gifts for ministry, to serve him and to serve people. You have a purpose beyond your life. Can we say amen? Isn't that awesome? You are not all about you. Aren't you glad? That saves us from so much struggle. You will be most joyful. You will be most satisfied as you find a way to give your life away, pointing people to the all-sufficient reality of Jesus Christ. Now, just one chapter after the chapter we're looking at, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18, Paul wrote, God, it's like this, God reconciled us to himself through Christ, and then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, get this, not counting people's sins against them. That is the best news ever. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We're therefore Christ's ambassadors. Here it is. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We've been reconciled, and we're given a ministry of reconciliation. Your regular life and mine can touch eternity as we minister with Christ. Now, unless I miss my guess, some of us are feeling, oh my gosh, Serve Week. Oh, crud. I don't think he's saying I could just sit here and sort of absorb another message and go eat lunch and go home and take a nap. Like, I think he's talking about we got to go do stuff. And when we talk about going and doing stuff, a lot of us begin to feel inadequate. We all experience self-doubt. We know us. We know our limitations. We know the inner dialogue that goes on in our minds about how maybe we don't feel like we're quite as good as that person or quite have that skill or we have this fear or we have this hang-up. Friends, that's true about all of us. Look at the way that the Apostle Paul described his life. This is 1 Timothy 1, verses 13 to 16. Even though I was once a blasphemer, Paul wrote, and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy thing that deserves full acceptance. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, Paul writes. For that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. My friend, if you feel inadequate in ministry, if you struggle with self-doubt, as I do and probably every other minister does, join the club. His mercy is made perfect in our weakness. It's not our strength, but our fragility that actually allows the goodness of God to be seen. Friends, your shortcomings and mine are nothing compared with the abundant grace of God. For all these reasons, we do not lose heart. Would you read aloud those five words with me right now? We do not lose heart. Friends, ministry is hard. Ministry involves setbacks. That verb there could be translated variously. It could be, we do not lack courage. It could be translated, we do not neglect our tasks. It could be, we do not despair. Ministry is hard in any age, but it's so important to sort of take into account the context that Paul is actually living, his life experience behind these inspired words. He has been imprisoned and flogged. He's been stoned and shipwrecked. He's been robbed, starved, and abandoned. And he says, we do not lose heart. Do you feel the weight of those words coming from his experience? A man with lesser motives, with a less spiritual view of ministry, would have given up a long time ago. With all the danger, with all the toil, why would Paul continue? Paul understood that God had given him a ministry and that God would also give him the strength to carry it forward. Years ago, Kevin Costner starred in a movie called Dances with Wolves, set just after the end of the American Civil War. It portrays a Union Army lieutenant who is stationed far on the western frontier. It's a lawless time. He is sent to this post furthest to the west, exposed to great danger. He is promised that someone will relieve him. But the audience knows, in the way that the movie unfolds, that no one ever will. His superior takes his own life, and the man who is charged with resupplying Costner's character is killed violently. Costner's character experiences hardship and adversity. Throughout, he returns to one simple phrase. As thing after thing after thing goes wrong, he says, I am at my post. He is a man under authority. He is a man with an assignment. He is a man who's been given a post. Everything is going wrong that can go wrong, but he is at his post. And in that, he finds great peace. About 5 years after Elise and I married, God had us move to Guaymas, Sonora, Mexico to plant a church. To say we didn't know what we were doing would be an understatement. It didn't estimate how much we still had to learn. And our experience church planting was really three steps forward and two steps back. There was plenty of adversity. There was plenty of hardship. My friends, God used that very simple phrase from a Hollywood movie to encourage us. When things were hard, we would say, we are at our post. Today may be a good day. Today may be a bad day. Tomorrow may be a worse day, or it may be a better day. But I can tell you, it will be a day in which we will be at our post. We're not going anywhere. We are people under authority. We are people with an assignment from a commanding officer. And at one level, it really doesn't matter what happens because we will be found at our post. Friends, we learn that God doesn't care a lot about the things that we talk about. He doesn't care about the size of our home, the speed of our car, or the smartness of our phone. But he does care about people being faithful. God honors people that step out in faith, and God honors faithfulness. In fact, God enables us to be faithful. How about you? How's your ministry? Are you willing to stay? Are you willing by God's grace to endure? Do you recognize yourself as a person under authority? A person who's been given a post. That post might be in your marriage. That post might be in your extended family. That post might be in a school. That post might be in an office complex somewhere. That post might be in a position on staff at Sunrise Community Church. That post might be some other place. But it's been given to you by God. And He will equip you to stay at your post. Friends, sometimes the very hardest part of ministry is right in the middle. You know, the excitement of the beginning when we're launching out and maybe we're commissioning a team on the platform and it's all balloons and glitter and we're excited about what could happen. And we know what it's like at the end when maybe your ship comes in, or maybe some people in our church are now working with a group of students as they go through freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year, and they see them all the way through. They see them graduate, and they can mark the progression and the development of their faith, and it's glorious. But my friend, sometimes right in the middle, it can feel like we're just muddling through. It's just day after day. And the metrics are harder to come by. And we wonder, is this in vain? Does this matter? I mean, this is taking some time and some energy and some resources of my life. Does it really count? My friend, if God has given you a post, He can meet you in that post. The scripture says He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I am so glad that God enabled us to stay in Guaymas and to see His work through. I am so glad that God enabled Paul to see His work through. I am so glad that God makes the feeble and the frightened faithful. You have been born into this world and you've been reborn through Christ to serve God and to serve people. God has marked you immutably, indelibly, forever to serve His purpose in this generation. His resources are beyond what you need. We can trust Him and He will do it. We are determined people. Amen? Well, in the first century, Paul's lifestyle and his preaching were both under attack. So Paul made it clear that true ministry, friends, is sincere. He wrote, "Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God." Literally, he says, "We do not walk in cunning. We don't use deception." At the time, there were false teachers who were deceiving people, not Paul. He refuses to use underhanded gain. Paul did not trick people into believing. He says, "We do not distort the word of God." People questioned how Paul interpreted the Old Testament. He had been a Pharisee's Pharisee. And now as he was writing these letters, he had a different interpretation of the Old Testament. The luo in Greek means to corrupt, especially by mingling the truths of God's word with false doctrines in order to gain hearers. He says, "Hey, we're not deceitful. We don't tamper with God's word. We're not hucksters. We handle the word of God openly. We declare it plainly." Just two chapters before our chapter today, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17. "Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. God is our witness. People, in a sense, are our witness and our judge. So we speak with sincerity." Paul says, "By setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." Friends, at Sunrise, we encourage people to read the Bible for themselves. This well-known passage in Acts 17:11, "The Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true." Friends, that's what we can encourage people to do. We live in a synthetic world, friends. Our clothes, our food, our cars, our appliances, they are assembled from disparate parts. It's hard to find something that is whole and true, unadulterated, not mixed. But that's what our ministry is. It's sincere. When I was a young adult, I went on a short-term mission trip. I lived with a Guatemalan pastor. was a very critical time in my life as I was making some choices about what I understood God to be calling me to do. I lived with a man who had pastored an established church in Guatemala. But he had developed a heart, by God's grace, for some poor, marginalized indigenous people, Quiche Indians, in the mountain regions of Guatemala. There happened to be a civil war going on during that time. But he moved in with them. He resigned his pastorate. And he became a missionary within his own country. He taught them the Bible. He provided them medical care. And I had the privilege of living for a summer with his family. And that shaped my life. When an earthquake damaged his home, he simply moved his family into the part that remained intact and built a little bit on to that part. He stayed. He was sincere. He wasn't in the ministry for financial gain or for notoriety or for anything else that might appeal to our flesh. He was sincere. Friends, one of the things I love about our church is that so many of us have a sincere calling for ministry. Our people here know that ministry is not a show. Ministry is something that happens in season and out of season. Ministry is something that happens when people are watching and when no one is watching. Ministry is something that happens because of our lives, because of who Jesus Christ in us. It's not an incident. It's not an act or an event. It's not even a program. It's a response. It's a lifestyle lived because of who's living inside of us. Someone who understands that here is Cindy Robitaille. Cindy Robitaille supports our student ministries. That would include a middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, high school, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, our young adult ministry called Rooted that goes probably from 18 up to about 30. Think about the importance of people going from age 12 to 30, becoming adult Christians in our culture. Cindy Robitaille, been on our church staff for the last 25 years. When you hear about Hume Lake, when you hear about Mexicali, frankly, when you see Pastor Cliff do something great or Nolan do something great, Cindy Robitaille has probably been a part of that. A sincere minister at Sunrise. Well, friends, ministry is all about Jesus. For what we preach is not ourselves. Paul had been criticized precisely at this point. If you go back one chapter in our book today, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he wrote, "Are we beginning to commend ourselves again?" He'd been attacked that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12, one chapter after our chapter today. "We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again." He bears that very much in mind. Someone said, "Of the various temptations which beset the Christian minister, one of the chief and deadliest is the temptation to preach himself." To make ourselves the message, to standardize our experience and to lay it on other people rather than to simply teach the Word of God and allow people to engage it and live their lives. What we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. Paul preached Christ. Galatians 1:16 says, "God was pleased to reveal his Son in Paul so that Paul might preach Christ among the Gentiles." And did he ever? In 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul wrote, "We preach Christ crucified." Someone else who does this so well is Pastor Rich. Do you notice how so many of Pastor Rich's messages tend to orbit around the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Pastor Rich wants God to draw us as God has drawn him to the feet of Jesus. To worship Jesus, to love Jesus, to know Jesus, to be saturated with Jesus. The Lordship of Christ, friends, makes a great difference in our lives. Not long ago, we took a short vacation. We went to my hometown, which is Paradise, California. It's about 100 miles north of here. It's a small town. And when we're on vacation, I love to go for a bike ride. It's relaxing. And I had been fiddling with the speedometer on my bike. And I thought I had it just reset fine. I put it back on there. And I made this, if you know Paradise at all, not a lot of people do, so let me indulge you. Skyway and Clark, two main streets. And then there's a bike path right up the middle. And you climb all the way up, and you can go to the reservoir, and it's beautiful. And I did that on my bike. And I turned around, and I was biking back. It's all downhill. And I was going really fast, and it's pine trees and clean air. And I looked down on my speedometer, and I saw numbers bigger than I had ever seen on my bike. And I thought, this vacation is really paying off. And I thought, if I'm going that fast without even trying, let me really try. And I really started cycling hard, and they got even bigger. And I thought, wait till I tell Elise, this is awesome. And I looked down, and I had switched it to kilometers. Nuts. Here's the point. The Lordship of Christ changes our metrics. It changes what we measure. Friends, if the Lordship of Christ is a reality in our lives, we don't measure our lives as the world measures. We measure our lives and our times by a different set of indicators. What's happening in our hearts, what's happening through our lives into the lives of other people. What kind of ministry is taking place? Friends, the very best evidence of the Lordship of Christ is ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Doulos is the word for servant there. It comes from a couple of other words that mean bind and slave. Originally, it was the lowest in the scale of servitude. It described one who gives him or herself up wholly to the will of another. Paul wrote all about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verses 19 to 23. Though I'm free, wrote Paul, and I belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Okay, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law. So as to win those not having any law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessings. Friends, ministry is for Jesus' sake. That's why ministry can be so freeing for you and me. Friends, I want you to think about whatever ministry you're involved in a regular way. And I want to encourage you, if there is an unusual amount of fear or worry, if there's an unusual amount of pride or glory, it could be that that ministry really isn't about Jesus. So what I find in my own life is I actually don't get that worried about Jesus. I get worried about me. I get worried about how I'm going to look, how I'm going to be perceived, how I may come across. So worry and fear, pride and an inordinate sense of glory, these might be indicators that maybe something else is sneaking into the center of that ministry. Ministry is giving ourselves away. Ministry is becoming a servant. Ministry is serving the needs of other people because Christ has served us. Paul said, we have this treasure. It's the gospel. The message of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also the very power behind that message, the living power of God today in the lives of believers because of Jesus. This is priceless, and we have it, Paul says, in jars of clay. Now, those jars of clay in the first century were certainly fragile, of course. But it's also true that those jars of clay in the first century, they were abundantly common. They were absolutely ordinary. Clay was easy to get. Clay was inexpensive. Clay was easy to work with. Now, the wealthy might have used fancier materials. There was available, and people would use ivory and marble, glass, fine wood. But regular folk would have pots made of earth, made of clay. Clay pottery was the most common material of the time for cookware, for dishes, wash basins, and storage. Clay pots kept liquid cool, and clay pots would slow evaporation. In the first century, clay pots were simply everywhere, especially in the lives of common people. Paul says, we have this treasure in these common jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. God decided to store his most valuable treasure in old, regular containers like you and me. After I proposed to Elise on Valentine's Day, we got married in August, 6 months or so later. And we got a number of wedding gifts, but I remember two specific kinds. We received some Noritake ivory china. Can we just go, ooh? Yeah, that's how I felt. It's beautiful. It's expensive. I felt nervous opening it. I felt nervous turning over the cup just to get the name written down correctly for this message. I thought, if I break one of these today, I could be busted. Now, almost immediately after we opened our china, we put it in storage at somebody else's house. We didn't think that our china could handle us. I mean, it was years later. When we bought our first home, we then bought a special piece of furniture just to keep the china happy. We put the china in the hutch. We put the hutch in the house. We put the hutch in a room we hardly use just to protect the china. You can see the china, but nobody gets to touch it. And hardly anybody gets to eat off it. When we got married, we also got Tupperware. Thick, plastic, microwavable, dishwasher safe, resilient, sturdy. When I drop Tupperware, it just bounces. I can use it again next service. Look at that. After our wedding, we didn't put our Tupperware in storage. We took our Tupperware everywhere. Later on, eventually, we had children. Buy more china? Are you kidding me? Furthest thing from our minds, we bought more Tupperware. Tupperware is great for kids. Our Tupperware has its own cabinet too, but it's right in the middle of our kitchen. It's right next to the refrigerator. Everybody in our family uses Tupperware every week. Friends, I'm not putting down china, and it's fun to have a fancy meal. But friends, as believers, we are much more like Tupperware than we are like fine china. My friends, God is building believers at Sunrise Community Church. He is looking for the kind of pots that don't have to be sheltered in a special piece of furniture. He is building believers that are not just seen, but are used. He is building believers that don't have to stay in a special room inside the house, but can get out into the rumble and tumble of life. That can be exposed to great cold and to great heat. That are useful in everyday life. That know that the treasure is not us, but the treasure is what is inside of us. My friend, I think you are that kind of person. And I think Sunrise is that kind of church. So we may not always be fancy or expensive, but we are regular people holding an earth-changing treasure. We're in the practice these days of identifying a memory verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. I'd encourage you to ask a friend or two to memorize that verse with you this week. It's a great frame for our serve week. And you might be saying, okay, well, serve week and challenging other people to serve in Jesus' name as never before. Well, what can I actually do? Friends, there's some great things going on this week. You can grab one of these invitation cards. They're available all over the foyer. In fact, why don't you maybe grab about 10 of them and see if you can just deliver 10 of these to neighbors around your home or around maybe where your life group meets or maybe your place of work, and just invite them to Sunrise to hear a life-changing message about Jesus Christ. Talk to them about what Sunrise Cafe is or our upcoming men's retreat or things going on for moms of preschoolers. You can serve at Sanctuary at Sunrise as we host 80 to 100 homeless men and women each night starting tonight. We're going to be showing up at 4:30. Our guests will be here at 5 o'clock. Friends, let me speak to you. I am so thrilled that we are doing this ministry. I'm just excited that we're going to give the best room in our church to folks in need. 7 nights, dinners, breakfast. We've got people coming in to sing. We've got basketball teams coming in to play basketball with them and all kinds of fun stuff going on to bless people who are having a tough day, day after day. And friends, I'm not just excited for the impact it's going to have on some precious homeless people. I'm excited for the impact it's going to have on me and on you. Unless I miss my guess, most of us came to church in a car. We'll go home in a car. Did you catch it? We'll go home. We're blessed. What an opportunity to serve people in a special way. Now you can pray for our local missionaries. If you have your bulletin insert, I'd encourage you to take that out and just look on the back. These are 6 different missionaries or missionary couples that we support. You can pray for them. When you give financially to Sunrise Community Church, a portion of that money goes to support these missionaries. And we don't support them alone. They're often supported by other churches or individuals as well. And then if you turn onto the front sheet, it's got some great ongoing local ministries that you could step into this month or next month. In fact, they have representatives in the foyer today. I would encourage you just to fold this where it's perforated, take off this bottom tag here, and check the one or two that you are most interested in. Then turn this in, and they will put you on an email list and get you more information. Friends, the first Saturday of the month, you can visit and pray with neighbors from around our church. A week from yesterday, we had the single biggest response ever as people from our church visited about 80 homes right around our church. Isn't that awesome? Third Saturday of the month, you can visit and pray with people at a local mall. You can help children at Sayonara Center, just a mile from here. You can share scripture with teens in Juvenile Hall. You can mentor students at Will Rogers Middle School. What's going on? It's just people who realize that Jesus Christ is greater than anything going on in this world. That Jesus Christ is greater in their hearts, and they're simply seeking an outlet. You can come alongside them. Just try it out and step into ministry. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for saving us and for giving us a ministry of reconciliation. Thank you for an opportunity to drop the other things we've been doing and just serve like never before this week. Jesus, I pray that you'd encourage my friends that because of the power of your word and the power of your spirit, we would all be determined. We would know that we have a post and that you can make us faithful, whether it's easy or hard at this particular moment. Thank you that we don't have to twist or turn or manipulate or connive, that we can just be sincere and play it straight. And that's enough. Your word will speak and you will honor your servants. And thank you, Jesus, that it doesn't have to be about us, our giftings or our potential, our hardships or our whatever, but it's all about you and that can ultimately be freeing. Jesus, I want to pray ahead of time for these dozens of homeless men and women that will be in our worship center even today. I pray that this would be a place of hope, a place of welcome, a place of joy, a place of salvation. I pray against fear in any of us as we seek to serve, that we would get beyond ourselves and love other people as we have been loved. Jesus, we pray this in your name. And all God's people said, Amen. God bless you guys. I'm so much looking forward to this week. It's going to be awesome. I'll be at Sanctuary at Sunrise a lot of nights and hope to connect with you there. Hey, if you're hurting and you want to be ministered to, my friends and I are available. We just love to hear from you, share scripture, and pray with you. We're available here as well as in the back. God loves you. Have a great week loving other people. God bless you.